All right, everybody gather around.
Everyone, listen up. Gather around.
Today is so weird.
It's weird today.
Is it weird? Is it weird?
And why is that?
Today is National No Rhyme, No Reason Day.
No rhyme, no reason.
Got no rhyme, got no reason.
No rhyme or reason, good.
There is no rhyme or reason.
Don't try and analyze it. There's no rhyme or reason.
No reason
at all.
That's gonna be weird.
Told ya.
It's showtime.
Live and local with Monica J. on 92.3 FM. And 99.1 FM Talk.
Well, they're rather nauseous, Monica J, this morning. Sorry about that. Oh, my gosh. I was out playing with the dogs in the smoke, and it just kind of hit me. Has it hit you? Do you feel as though your health has been adversely affected by the smoke this summer? That's actually our poll question. Smoke does so much with the particles and everything going into, 923fmtalk.com and 991fmtalk.com, brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Do you feel your health has been adversely affected by the smoke this summer? So yesterday's poll question, just, you know, a little bit of fun. Yes, I know I got a lot of information from our members of the military. Should Joe Biden be court-martialed, impeached, resign, or none of the above? Well, impeached, 36%. Yes, 36% impeached. Yes, we know what the alternative is if he's convicted. Resign, 20%. Court-martialed, 31%. And 13%, none of the above. And I got a lot of emails on that no, we don't want Kamala in there. Joe Biden is not going to last much longer. Whether it be his health, boy, that could be a poll question too. What do you think is going to take Joe out? Is it going to be his health? Is it going to be the 25th Amendment? Which, by the way, 10:38 this morning. Make sure you set your alarm or whatever in case you have to run some errands, get back in the car or get back in the house. Sean Meehan's going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about that. You know, what is going on right now and what could legitimately happen? Plus, we'll talk about the, smoke's even getting my voice. Probably shouldn't have gone outside this morning. Can't even see across the street, really, but... You know, you got to play with the dogs. They don't get it. So Sean Meehan will be joining us. We'll talk about the 25th Amendment. We'll talk about the posse. Oh, I forgot the second part of it. Comitatus or whatever act when it comes to the military and using resources here in this country. So he's going to have that all together for us. Join us at 10:38. Then at 11:08, we'll be hearing from Paul Jackson. I try to get the word out there. You know, first Fridays, great way to meet and greet people. It's not going to actually happen this Friday. So it's been postponed. He'll tell you why. We'll talk a little bit. Great guy. So those are that's the poll question today. People already getting in on it. You know, that's the thing about this smoke is you don't have to be right in the fire zone for things to be damaged, you know. But boy, that fire zone, that is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. A lot of calls about what was that website you gave the other day? It's zoomearth.com. Zoomearth.com. That gives you an incredible real-time satellite look at where the fire is burning, which direction it's going, if there's any rain in the forecast. It's cool and scary to watch all at the same time. All right, let's talk about the fires. This Caldor fire is just, it's getting the best of us. This is actually coming from, well, the only commissioner that I've gotten any information from, really, just sends it to me. So thank goodness for him. John Angles, Douglas County Commissioner. Douglas County is asking the following communities to be on the alert and start preparing for potential evacuations. That's the thing. You have to be prepared. Evacuations have not been ordered for the following areas at this time. However, there is potential for evacuation warnings to heighten to evacuation orders in the near future. The communities possibly affected are any homes or property located on Foothill Road from Centerville Lane north to Mueller Lane, including the valley side of Kingsbury Grade, and any homes that are accessed by Foothill Road between Centerville Lane and Mueller. We're asking residents to stay vigilant, pay attention to emergency phone alerts, and have a plan in place for potential evacuations. In addition, plan for road closures in the area. You know, I know phone alerts get annoying sometimes, but they really are important. So important. Make sure that your phone is charged at all times and that you have your charger with you. That's something I think when we talk about to-go bags and what you've got boxed up to be ready, that's a great reason right there to have an extra phone charger. You know, you can buy them anywhere pretty much nowadays. I know some phones are fussy, but get an extra phone charger and have that in your emergency bag. Because when you're trying to gather stuff up and people panic, and that's okay. You know, there's all kinds of help out there if you forget something. But people do get panicked, and that's the one thing. You've got to have that communication. So your phone is of the utmost importance. Getting back to Commissioner Angles' letter here to me. Nevada Department of Transportation has the following roads closed. The following are soft road closures, meaning the roads are open to residents and employees who must enter the area to access their home or work. US 50 going westbound into Tahoe Basin and Spooner Junction. It's basically South Carson Street and 50. SR 207 westbound at Foothill Road intersection at the bottom of Kingsbury Grade. State Route 28 and US 50 junction westbound on 50. Just a couple of quick messages from him as well. Have a transportation plan for animals and livestock. Think about fuel, medications, super important keepsakes. You can't pack up the whole house and take it. So what's the most important? Documents and groceries that you might need. You know, the community center, that was the first to fill up. Fuji Park filled up. It just keeps moving on and straight up here. You know, it keeps moving north. Now we've got the convention center open. But that's only open for 400, I think the number was 420, 424, something like that, people. Yeah, there's a heck of a lot more people than that. They're going to be evacuating. So make sure you've got some snacks in the car as well for yourself. Obviously, you're not going to raid the refrigerator, but just keep in mind. Think about your loved ones on oxygen. Or anyone who might need assistance leaving their home. This is where neighbors really rely on neighbors. You know, elderly retired couples or singles living in these areas. Please think of your neighbors. If you want to get an evacuation checklist for a reference, you can go to livingwithfire.com. Livingwithfire.com. They've got a checklist there, evacuation checklist. It's just one-page PDF. And let family know where you're going. Let friends, your employer, let somebody know if you're being evacuated. Let somebody know where you are. Because when situations happen like this, wow. Family gets panicked. And if your phone isn't working for some reason or not, make sure that they can get a hold of somebody else to find out your situation. Make sure that you're okay. Because that's what we're worried about right now. We'll go into a few more of the evacuation shelters and the animal shelters. Some of the places aren't allowing animals, even if they're in crates and things like that. So you have to be ready to be able to go to the appropriate shelter as well. And if there's anybody, you know, in town, shelters are shelters. It's literally like going to the homeless shelter. There's just a bunch of cots in a room, which, don't get me wrong, people are very, very grateful for that. But if you know anybody in Douglas County, if you have an extra room, please open up your hearts, open up your homes. This is a devastating time for our community.
Attention, listener. You know you're a bad driver when your navigation voice assistant in your car says,
in 400 feet, stop and let me out.
Please make a note of it.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. As we head over to the talk and text lines, 884-9910. Lee Elliott's joining me right now on 99.1. Lee, what's going on with the collection of waters and all that good stuff?
We had 4,000 pounds of water donated yesterday. We had enough goods to fill the back of two SUVs, and Red Cross wouldn't accept them. And so we had to take them down to the fish to donate everything this morning. But we're setting up again from 11 o'clock until probably 4 or 5 today, accepting water again because they are in need of stuff, people. But here's a biggie, guys. We are accepting packages of hot dogs and buns because the Fish Kitchen is going to set up a hot dog stand, and people are welcome to walk into Fish and pick up a hot dog and do whatever they want, eat it, give it away, or whatever. And so that's taking place today also. We will be set up again at the complex, the Capitol complex. And please, please, we need some help. We need some muscle to unload these vehicles that stop by with these goods that are being donated. So, and now I'll tell you, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Lee, with the refusal of the Red Cross, what did they say why?
Oh, they say they can't accept it from straight from the community. It has to go through Fish or through some other organization.
Oh, okay.
And
well, we have to keep in mind all the different evacuation centers too. You know, for
And they won't accept it. They won't. Yeah, they just won't accept it. We wanted to go right down to Fuji Park and down to Mills Park and donate to the people that are there. And nope, can't even hardly even get close to the people. And so, to me, that's whatever. I'm not worried about that, Monica, right now. I'm worried about the fact that these people need things. We had families. We had at least 7 families that came by and picked up stuff while it's being donated down at the donation center.
Wow.
And it was amazing. and we verified that they were, you know, evacuees.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had $330 some odd donated, which we gave to Fish also this morning.
Yeah, Fish is just amazing in dealing with all this, and they have the facility too. So you can donate directly to them as well.
Yeah, so please push it. And we need canned goods, you know, the big cans, food.
Yeah, the tin cans.
Yeah, the tin cans. And let's see what else. We need animal food. They need animal food also.
Okay.
And that can be donated directly over to the Humane Society. We gave a couple of bags away to a couple of people that needed cat food. And so we donated that. They stopped by and picked that up themselves yesterday.
Okay.
I'm amazed, Monica. I am so proud of the people of Carson City and Reno and Douglas County that it's amazing.
Yeah.
And everybody I talk to is just upset with Red Cross that they wouldn't allow us to donate 2 tons of water to directly to the sites.
But well, remember, there's the Salvation Army as well. So I always prefer my donations go to the Salvation Army. So, Lee, I got to cut you off.
Yep.
I've got people lined up on the lines. What time are you going to be out at the Capitol Complex?
We'll be down. Dan and I will be down there at 11 o'clock, which is in about a half hour or so. And let me tell you, we do need help. Okay?
Okay. 11 to what?
11 till 4 or 5. It all depends if people are still dropping off. And then I don't know if Jerry real fast can make a announcement, or somebody, and just have it played over again. That we're doing this. Okay. This may be the last day because, we have very few volunteers that are helping.
Okay.
We need volunteers.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate all that you and Dan are doing for the fire evacuees. Katie's on the line right now at 99.1 FM Talk. Wants to talk about Fuji Park. Hi, Katie. What's going on?
Hey, Monica. Nice to talk to you. I've been volunteering over at Fuji Park Monday, yesterday. I'm set to go there this evening for a shift. I've been working with the Humane Society, Carson City Humane Society, and various other organizations. I'm not affiliated with any of them. But when they say Fuji Park is full, I believe they're referring to the Red Cross that has 50 or 60 beds only.
Mm-hmm.
There are people camping in each of the parking lots. There's 3 different parking lots, one of them being out back behind the stables. Last night when I left, we only had about 30 to maybe 40 animals, cats, dogs, small animals, no livestock at all, though there is space for livestock. And I think there are some horse experienced people. I am, but I haven't seen any horses there yet.
Okay. The space is there.
There's stalls. There are panel pens that are set up and that can be set up if necessary.
Okay.
Last night or yesterday when I left around 2 p.m., there was plenty of room in the parking lots for additional people. If you got trailers or tents or cars, there's people staying in their cars that are packed to the gills. It's very emotional, but the team of people that are showing up, the number of volunteers, the donations, they've got lots of cat and dog food, beds, crates coming in. So consider that a resource for people. They should try to get in there and see if there's room besides what the Red Cross is offering. And also the Salvation Army is there. They're serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Coffee for breakfast as well. I think the breakfast is like 7 to 8. It could be longer. Lunch was noon to 1, and dinner I believe is 5 maybe to 7. So they are, and they'll feed anybody, volunteers, evacuees, and all that. There is a vet on staff at the animal intake. And it doesn't cost anything. Anyone that's evacuated can bring their animals in. We'll take care of them. We'll feed them, water them, walk them. And there's visitation, of course, for anyone that's got their animals in there.
Okay, perfect. Katie, go ahead.
Well, the one thing is the gentleman that spoke prior to me, where do they need volunteers? Because I may have more energy in my body to go down and help more.
At the State Capitol complex right there on Carson Street, so where the legislative building is.
Okay.
That's where they have kind of a little drive-through thing going on there.
Okay.
Katie, you're
also
amazing.
One more thing. If people need showers, they're being directed to the Carson Community Center. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop by my post office and find out what I can find out about getting people alternative mail delivery because you know, their mail is not going to go to Tahoe, and maybe see if I could pass that information on. And the other thing is, I don't know. I go to bed just thinking about what else can we do for these people.
Yeah.
It's going on day three for the first evacuees. They're going to start needing showers.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if there's any gymnasiums or anything else in Carson area. I'm just working in Carson, so I'm not trying to speak to any other area, but anyone, any of the gyms or anything that can open up lockers and showers for people that need a shower. And I don't know what's come in last night as far as how many people, so keep that in mind. But just want to let people know Carson is rocking it. And
Katie,
I'm glad to be a part of it.
You're amazing, and thank you for the information. And thank you for thinking about the post office. I wasn't even thinking about that. That is awesome information. Please let me know what you find out. I appreciate it, all that you're doing.
Okay. I'm not emailing you because I know you got thousands of emails. So,
Well, I'm trying to keep up on the ones. It's the ones from way back when that I haven't gotten to. So, send me whatever information that you can. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate your time.
All right.
I know we're, yes, God bless everyone. We're going to get to Phil in just a minute. I want to take this phone call right here. Ron is joining us on 99.1 FM Talk because, Ron, you can take large animals?
I can take probably 2 or 3 horses on the property. I don't have any large animal right now, but anybody can need for room for the horses, probably can accommodate up to 3 horses.
Okay. Ron, will you make sure that you leave us your information on where those horses can be kept? Is this your private property?
Yes, it is.
Ron, thank you for pitching in. Give your address and your information to my producer, and we'll make sure that we keep that on hand for anybody who needs that for large animals, for horses. There's a lot of horses that are going to be evacuated out of this area. Ron, thank you so much for being part of the solution for the evacuees. All right.
Absolutely.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk as we all work together to get through the Caldor Fire and the Dixie Fire and everything else that these fires are throwing at us.
On an iPhone, get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today on a very smoky and hectic day. A lot of information coming out for the evacuees, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Right now, though, I want to bring you today's poll question at 923fmtalk.com and 991fmtalk.com, two different sites there. Do you feel your health has been adversely affected by the smoke this summer? I know that, you know, this is affecting people beyond what COVID did. This smoke on a daily basis, and we are in the unhealthy range. Again, you can find the range specifically for your area by going on to Purple, I know it sounds weird, purpleair.com, purpleair.com, but it is a great monitoring site. Yesterday's poll question, also brought to you by Nissan of Carson City, should Joe Biden be court-martialed? 31%. Impeached? 36%. Resign? 20%. None of the above? 13%. Joining me on 99.1 FM Talk right now is probably one of, no, he is. He is my favorite person when it comes to learning about the Constitution, and that is the founder of Guard the Constitution, guardtheconstitution.com, and that is Sean Meehan. Sean, thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning, Monica. Glad you reached out and that we were able to get on your schedule.
You know, it's, yeah, you are a busy guy when it comes to dealing with the Constitution. There are a lot of questions floating around right now about our rights, and it's sad that people don't know their rights.
I almost don't know what to say to that other than you're absolutely correct. I feel blessed that I got a lot of friends and their network that reach out during times like this and say, is this legal? Is this constitutional? And, you know, I do the best I can to steer them in a certain direction, but I have to admit, it's sad to me that months before they couldn't pick up our Constitution with 7 short articles and learn what the founders said our God-given rights actually were.
And that is so important to understand, that these are our God-given rights. These are our rights in existence. Sean, something that keeps popping up are all these mandates. Do we lose our constitutional rights in a health emergency or any type of health situation?
Not in my judgment, and it's a huge thing going on. I just discovered a great article the other day by a law professor back east where there are people saying that in the early 1900s, the Supreme Court issued an opinion that said that you can mandate vaccines. And let's say for a minute, I don't agree with that, but let's say that's true. What was very interesting is this law professor went on to cite case after case after case after that, where bodily integrity, the right to control what goes into our bodies, was also an opinion they issued. So I would argue that has more force. Sadly, the way our Supreme Court and our federal court system is structured, and the way we have totalitarian people running our government and insisting that they decide for us, it takes so long for this to come true, and they don't understand what morality, natural rights, and the law should be until the Supreme Court sends it down to them on high. And in no way did the founders ever intend or write about the Supreme Court having that much power. It was stolen in the early days of our country, in the Marbury v. Madison ruling, and you can look at that and learn that if you read Federalist Paper number 78, it clearly points out that they will have only the force of will, but no actual power. They had to depend on the legislative and the executive branches to actually execute their opinions.
You know, it's interesting when you say that coming from the Supreme Court, because the CDC is trying to do that too. You know, people don't realize CDC's just opinions. They don't make law.
That's there's a question. Do they, I would argue that they don't make law, but they can establish policy delegated properly. But then you have to go back to Article 6 of the Constitution, which is the oath. And it talks about the supremacy clause that federal, and everybody says federal laws are supreme. That's true to the point. They are properly derived from a right granted to the federal government in the Constitution. And as we know now, most are not. Our friends, a lot of them believe all executive orders are unconstitutional. That's not true. The vast majority are. If a president wants to issue a memo, a president of any political party, he's in office, he wants to issue a memo, I want my executive branch agency to do this power and execute it this way. As long as that is derived necessary and properly from the Constitution with a power granted to his office, that is an appropriate exercise of power. All the rest are not. And it is a duty upon all officers of all levels of government that take an oath under Article 6 to stand up and refuse. This goes to the argument about our constitutional sheriffs, county commissioners, state legislators that are supposed to push back and say no, like Governor Kristi Noem did last year to the federal government. That is the role. Checks and balances aren't checks and balances if all levels of government aren't engaged. It's not get along. It's follow the Constitution.
Exactly. Something that I learned a lot about yesterday, and I had to educate myself even more and go and look at the different acts, is the Posse Comitatus Act. This all came about because of the fires that we've got going on right now, and our military has such amazing resources. I mean, dozers and water tanks, and, you know, where is the military? All hands on deck for these fires. And that act has been kind of massaged and, you know, changed over the years to be able to work with the war on drugs and other things. What do you think about this act, Sean?
Well, and it's been abused and contorted, as you lean into. And I heard your caller yesterday call about it. And I would argue Posse Comitatus does not apply to the firefighting situation. But I was very pleased to hear your caller call in and bring it up, because that tells me they're paying attention and trying to learn. Posse Comitatus came about after the Civil War, when our Northern Union troops were, you know, they were the law and order in the South, created resentment, things like that. And it has evolved and, as you said, been amended several times through history to basically understand the concept that the military, especially the active duty federal military, is ill-equipped and not properly the agency to enforce the policing powers. Those should belong to states and be delegated by those states to the local sheriffs and communities and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is the Air National Guard, National Guard, forces like that are under the control of a governor, they may be dressed like the military, but they're actually a completely different thing. They have some of the same training standards as active duty. And for all intents and purposes these days, they have the same capabilities. But when they're not federalized, not called up by a president, they belong to the state and the governors can deploy them. They're allowed to support law enforcement, but not be directly involved. And I think this is wise, because the military is trained to use a certain kind of extremely deadly focused force that policing civilians are not. And I believe that's appropriate. Policing civilians is completely different than policing terrorists or foreign armies.
Yeah, and that's really concerning, because there's a video going around of a woman in uniform that is talking about, you know, if she has to have her weapon out on U.S. soil, if she tells you to get in the house, you better get in the house, or you will become the enemy combatant. And that's very concerning.
Well, I would argue I've seen a lot in the last 48 hours going around that is not what it appears to be. But having not seen that, we'll assume it's true. And this is something people forget. And, you know, I'm retired military and I'm very proud of my military. But we represent a cross-section of society. Like the military, we may have good standards and our numbers may be slightly less. But in the military, let's be honest, there's rapists, there's drunk drivers, there's egomaniacs like the person that you described, if that's true. And mm-hmm. Our fellow military, hopefully we detect those people, we report them, and they are treated and or prosecuted fairly under the law and appropriately. But as you just described, that's someone, if it's true, that needs to be handled right away, because that is not at all an appropriate role for the military, unless our country is actually being physically invaded. And then the Insurrection Act could apply. But even still, I would argue, if you have a military firearm and you're running around threatening people that if you do X, I'm going to do Y, I don't want you in my military. And and you need to be placed under arrest under Article 7 and taken before a judge.
Sean, can you hang on for just a minute? I got to do a quick traffic report, and I want to get back to what you just said about military on the streets.
FM Talk at 99.1 and 92.3. Online at 99.1fmtalk.com.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Glad you're here with me right now, because my guest is Sean Meehan, GuardTheConstitution.com. And Sean, just for a little, you know, something, this is what I was referring to.
Understand that if active duty military actually get deployed within the United States, that weapon is not just pointed at other people, other countries. It's pointed at you. If you do not get in your house when I tell you to, you become the enemy. Martial law.
Yeah, that's
not helpful.
Yeah. Especially when people are seeing the situation going over in Australia, where law enforcement and, you know, the military are dragging people through the streets. They're dragging people out of their homes if they've got COVID. Or so it's questionable because, you know, we have the Constitution here. But let's get back to our fire story. And you did some research with the military's actual firefighting capability with these C-130s.
Absolutely. For your listeners that don't know, most of my military career, I was a cargo loadmaster on cargo aircraft. And you're the one that loads the cargo, manages the passengers, drops the paratroopers, things like that. And think of that aircraft as a teeter-totter, and things have to be balanced out properly. If it's too wide, the airplane will lose control, crash, and the crew will die. And that happened years ago with a 747 in Afghanistan. Anyway, to the point is, I heard you discussing with people yesterday, and I mostly agree that if we have these military resources available, we should use them. But I was fascinated to look at the National Interagency Fire Center in Boise, Idaho, and I read up on, we just activated 200 active duty Army soldiers. They go through 3 days of training, classroom and field, and then when they're deployed, they have an experienced wildland firefighter with them, which I think is amazing because, you know, as some of our firefighter friends will tell you, is fire behaves a certain way until it doesn't. And you need mm-hmm. that training and those professionals with you. So that's good. I think also there are 8 MAFs. That's a modular airborne firefighting system for the C-130 aircraft that our National Guard uses. And that's something that, while it wouldn't have worked on the aircraft that I had or wouldn't have been deployed that way, that's a system that we would have loaded. And basically it's a pallet, a flat 88 by 108 inch thing, a couple of them married together, and a big assembly put on top of it. You land. There's rollers on the floor, comes in, lock it down, and you take off. That contains the borate solution or the water or whatever they drop. And the thing is it's about a week of training those crews have to go through because there's the up and down drafts and all those things. You can't just take a C-130 crew, send them to a fire because they're going to get those air currents they're not properly trained for. They're going to crash and die, and now you've got another fire problem somewhere else. However, when the people get engaged with Congress and the Forest Service and the BLM and all their baloney ahead of time and say, we're going to have fires, let's properly allocate some money in advance, let's mm-hmm. do some training. There's currently only 8 MAFS units in the whole continental United States, and I believe they're all currently working. So as far mm-hmm. as airborne assets of the military that can be put on this fire, we're at max capacity. We need to plan better next time. And not moving up to Stead, north of you in Reno, from Minden, the airport by me, a wonderful firefighting location, because it's what the BLM wanted. And yeah. Harry Reid was involved in that. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. We need to plan ahead, insist that we're prepared to be protected.